Welcome to the Edible Valley Podcast. We will be exploring the food culture of the Comox Valley. We will be talking to chefs, farmers, producers, and food lovers from around the Comox Valley. Along the way, we will also touch on sustainability, food security, and simple living. I am Blaine Prowse.
And I am Jonathan Fraser.
Finally, we're recording.
It's actually about time we finally got this together and are going to actually produce something, I think.
We've been talking about this since last fall and probably early October, and now it's almost the end of March.
And finally, we're sitting down and actually talking about something that we're going to actually put out there for people to listen to. So
hopefully the recording turns out all right.
No fridges, no funny sounds in the background. And
phones ringing, dogs barking.
Yeah, so hopefully this will be enjoyable for everyone. Or as enjoyable for us to produce as it is for you to listen to.
So. Yeah. So, John, you want to say a few things about the Comox Valley and where we're at for the people that are listening outside of British Columbia?
Yeah, well, I think we want to sort of just describe, like, what this Edible Valley is for us. So, being based here in the Comox Valley, you know, located, you know, here in the middle of Vancouver Island on the eastern side. At the base of the Beaufort Mountains here.
Yeah.
It's a very unique area. Sort of, we've got ski hills to the one side of us and the ocean to the other side. So we're really lucky that we can ski, sail, golf, bike. You know, we can do that all in the same day. You know, anything
all year round, pretty near too. Well, except skiing. Can't really ski in the summer.
But you can go pretty close into the summer. I mean, last year they were open for Father's Day on the hill. So
that's right.
It's pretty impressive. They got a nice pack up there. Just because I get all the rain as it comes down, hits it. So it is a bit wet here. If there's one complaint about this area, is it can be a little wet at times.
Yeah, we're in the Pacific Northwest, so definitely we get our share of rain.
The sacrifices for living in a rainforest. So.
Yeah.
So on that, I think what steps out for both the two of us being connected in this area is that just our greatest resource here is just our land and our waters. Being on an island, you know, surrounded by water, there's an abundance of everything here. I think we're laughing with some of the 75% of oysters and clams or shellfish that are harvested in British Columbia come from this area, which is, you know, a bit mind-boggling. But then, you got salmon runs, halibut, cod. It's all around us, so we're lucky to have those foods around us. And being at the base of the mountain range here and having the Puntledge River, it's a very fertile land. I mean, Comox stands for Land of Plenty, which definitely we have here. So,
yeah, we have a whole pile of agricultural land here. I think there's, 200 farms in the Comox Valley? Something like that. I should have done my research before we started.
But, you know, there's new ones popping up.
Yeah.
Left, right, and center. So, I mean, people are getting into this local movement, so.
Correct, yeah.
So we just thought we want to be on top of it and sort of, you know, introduce people to stuff that maybe they didn't know about here, so.
And for ourselves to learn a little more, too.
Oh, definitely. I mean, I live in the food industry, so it's, for me, it's getting out there and finding something new and something interesting to source and put on a menu and serve people. So,
well, while we're on the subject, why don't we introduce ourselves before we get too far into this?
too far into it. Okay.
Strangers to people who are listening in.
Well, this was your idea, Blaine. So I think, you know, you should go off there and just sort of explain to people how this came to you. Because I mean, it was one of those waking up in the middle of the night things, I believe. And
yeah, kind of.
And I got a phone call the next day. So
I've been listening to a few podcasts for the last year and a bit, and I like the format of it. And so I thought, well, why can't we do that? It's pretty easy. You just need a microphone and a computer, and you can go to town. So we've been trying, and it's not as easy as we thought it was going to be. But anyways, it's okay. It's been fun. But yeah, I was born and raised in the Comox Valley. Growing up, I wasn't really that interested in food, but my grandfather was a hunter-gatherer, and my whole maternal side of the family was. And so I learned about hunting and fishing from them and eating all sorts of seafood and wild game growing up, and my grandpa had a smokehouse and a big garden, so that seed was planted in me early, and it's starting to come out in me now that I'm an adult and I have my own young child that I'm introducing her to these things too. So, and because of that, I'm a seafood snob. I know exactly what I like and what I don't like, and I don't stray far from it. I'm open to new fish, but not to new areas, I guess. Like, I like to eat my fish from local areas. I don't want to eat anything from outside of basically BC.
Your safety zone?
Yeah, yeah. I don't like Asia. I won't eat anything from Asia. Tiger prawns? No, not happening. But I'm also a hesitant foodie. I did work in the restaurant industry for a number of years. And I'm a good prep cook, but I'm not a very good chef. I don't have a lot of creativity in my brain. So hopefully this will help me learn a little more about what's out there and what to do with it. And I've been raised a meat eater, and my girlfriend's a vegetarian, so that's been a bit of an interesting shift in my consumption of food. And it's balancing out pretty well. I'm doing okay. I don't swing either way. So I'm definitely an omnivore.
Sample a little bit of everything, right?
Yeah. And in my day-to-day life, I'm a sheet metal worker, and I'm crazy about bicycling, commuting on it, touring, mountain biking, camping and hiking, and I take my daughter out to do as many things as I physically can. And I'm also a blog writer, thecynicalcyclist.blogspot.com. I've been doing that for a little over a year now. That's been kind of fun too. So that's me in a nutshell. And John, your turn.
All right. I guess a little about myself. I actually was not born in the Comox Valley, but I was born on Vancouver Island in Victoria. I was lucky at a young age. My parents bought a cabin on Hornby Island. So my life really started off on the beaches of Hornby Island every weekend down there, you know, picking clams, oysters, and doing some fishing off the rocks there. Never was the greatest fisherman, but I'd always tried my hardest. So
no, you were not.
Blaine's tried to improve that many a times, and I've failed many of times on him. So,
but you always had fun.
I always had fun, and I definitely love to get out there, and I've always been a person who likes to play with the food that's out there. I mean, as a kid, it's doing the fishing and picking clams and oysters. Not that I was a big fan of oysters at that age, or even knew what they were all about. It was definitely something I did as a kid, so I still remember my dad's, I call it his famous clam chowder, and we'd spend all day picking clams, a 16-liter pail of clams, and we'd steam them all off and make this huge bowl of chowder, and to me, it was the greatest thing in the world. So from there, my dad got a job in Courtney, or the North Island at least, and so we moved to Royston and happened to be across the street from the Kingfisher Inn, so that's really sort of propelled my cooking career, because I sort of looked at it as, oh, there's a job across the street and they'll give me money. So
yeah,
I started off in the dish pit and worked my way up there. I sort of asked the boss for a raise one day, and he said, if you want to, I'll give you a raise, but you have to learn how to toss salads. And it kind of went from there. And I think that's how, the same way for Blaine, because he came in around just a little while after me, and I think the two of us ran that restaurant for a few years together, and very, very little experience, but a lot of heart and a lot of drive to have fun in there. So it worked out really well. So I spent a few years, and then I moved down to Victoria, and Victoria was all over the place. I bumped through a couple restaurants. The most interesting thing would be when I hit up with the Maple Leaf Adventure Tours and did, which really brought the local thing and the native foods to me, was just sailing up and down the coast on this charter boat. It was a 92-foot schooner with 10 guests on board, and I was the cook on board, so we always had a naturalist who'd go ashore with them and describe what was there and what you could what all the plants were, and they always came back with a bucket of something. And I say something because there was a lot of stuff I had no idea what it was. And they said, you can make something out of this. So
yeah,
there would be things like long-necked barnacles, and I don't even know what their name is off, but beautiful, tender meat inside. But
are you talking about gooseneck barnacles?
Yeah, that's probably. And they're ugly as sin.
Yeah.
The seaweeds they bring me. I've got a bull kelp recipe to die for that. Just that I learned from there.
Yeah.
I haven't done it for a lot of years, but that's kind of where my life led. And then, yeah, the after all that, I got a phone call about the Atlas Cafe, that they were looking for a chef, and or that the current chef was stepping down. And to me, it just seemed like the perfect place to go. It was the place that everyone talked about, not only in Courtney, but in Victoria. When I brought the name of the place up, people were excited about it. So I said, I think that's a place I got to be. So, yeah, that was 2005. And 7 years later, I'm still there and still enjoying it, even though it's a bit of a nightmare. And I work ridiculous amount of hours. When Blaine came to me about the podcast, I was like, that's great, because it'll actually get me out of the kitchen and back out into the world to sort of see where the food's coming from. Also, with the joint coming back to the Comox Valley and starting at the Atlas Cafe, I got myself sort of involved with the North Vancouver Island Chefs Association. So that's sort of my second hat I wear. Currently, I'm the vice president. Elections are coming, so I'm going to move into another position. I don't know which one yet. I'm hoping it's not president, because that's a lot of responsibility. So it's giving me a chance, and it's actually been great, because it's allowed me to keep connected to the chefs in town. Our organization has really gone a local route, and it's really to connect with the farmers and the people in the community and what we have out there. We put together a cookbook, The Island Inspiration, which was a learning experience in its own. And so that's how I came to back to the Comox Valley. And so that's a little bit about myself. So this is sort of the next extension, I think, of what I want to do. I found with the Atlas Cafe has really allowed me to sort of showcase the Comox Valley. And I'd be like to get out there a little bit more and spread my voice, get out of the kitchen and get some fresh air.
Yeah. I see you're learning to use Twitter now, too.
I've tried Twitter. I try and tweet. I'm a bit of a twit. So it doesn't always come out right. But it's something I'm working on, just getting out there and talking to people. I'm not a person who likes to come out of my kitchen. It's always a awkward situation. I mean, it's nice to go out to tables and talk to people, but it's not my first response when someone would like to see me. So
yeah,
but I love having people come back to the kitchen and saying thank you for the meal. So that's always fun. So
that's cool. Yeah, yeah. There was one memorable time when we were young cooks and we had to go out to a table. I don't think I want to finish the story, but they were praising us on our meal that we cooked so deliciously. And yeah,
I think we could not accept that we were chefs and that we were still just dishwashers at that time.
Yeah,
we worked under some great people. So
yeah, we flew by the seat of our pants too and threw something out that was we weren't prepared for, but we did it anyway.
And we definitely hit the spot for them.
So, yeah, they were happy. That was our oyster. Was it our month of shellfish or something?
Well, yeah, because we were talking about how it was either January or February is one of the best times because the water's cold.
Yeah.
So the oysters are at their best, and so we decided to have an oyster fest special, like our schnitzel festival.
Yeah.
Schnitzel madness it was, that's it.
Yeah, the restaurant was always dead, so we brought it up to the chef, and he said, well, if you guys want to do it, you make the menu. But, eh.
That was probably one of my first menus I think I ever had to create. So
over a few pints in the pub at night, we sat there and came up with 10 items or so. And
10 separate ones. Oyster Florentine, Oyster Casino, I remember.
Yeah.
Oh, Rockefeller.
Yeah.
I can't even remember the rest of them. There were so many. Probably a Mediterranean.
Yeah. But I don't know if we how well we did. I don't really remember, but...
Yeah.
I think it was all right.
That's a long time ago.
That was fun.
So I guess the next thing we should just go up on is what we actually hope to do with the Edible Valley. Like, where we hope to go. I mean, I have my dreams of what I'd like to do, and I don't know. They're probably the same as yours, but we should let everyone know.
Yeah, I think just to create a network and a place for people to come to, and for John and I sort of become a resource for people to turn to, mm-hmm. to get information about things, be it just when's the farmer's market, or where do I go to get honey, or those types of things. So that's kind of how I would like to kind of just be a useful resource for people and learn about more about what's happening here.
Yeah. Well, there's so many festivals in town that are going on, and so much. We have the Shellfish Festival. This year they're going to have the first Flavor Festival, which will be basically along the lines of the Victoria's Feast of Fields. So I'm hoping 40 vendors,
right,
with a little sample of everything. So there's lots and lots of food going on here.
Yeah, right.
And I really look at this as such a neat little area. I mean, I look at down south in Victoria, it's just sticking on the island. The Cowichan Valley has such a strong name for itself.
Right.
And its farm and its community has come together so much. But I think the Comox Valley has much more to offer. And I think our agriculture and our cooks and our chefs in this community actually have something to offer, you know, the world. I think there's something here. There's a lot of people who are really passionate about what they do and really enjoy doing what they do here. So
yeah, I'd say I shouldn't probably say this because I don't know, but I'd be led to believe that we have higher end restaurants in Courtney than they do down in Cowichan and Duncan.
We have some really good restaurants.
There's just some really interesting places to eat here.
Yeah.
And no disrespect to Duncan. I mean, they may have it too. I just have no experience with it, so.
Don't get down there. There's a couple nice eateries down there, definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, there's great places all over Vancouver Island.
Yeah.
Victoria's got amazing restaurants. Tofino's got some really top-notch places. I mean, you can basically, there's a couple places in each community. I like the fact here in the Comox Valley that a lot of our restaurants are very, very close, mm-hmm. and there is a lot of camaraderie,
right,
between the restaurants out there. I mean, especially myself being with the Chefs Association, I meet up with a lot of the chefs at least monthly, and it's a good time just to sort of chat and say, hey, what are you guys doing, and how's business, and what do you think about this? We just finished up with a dine around Comox Valley, which was a lot of fun. Not really.
This made you busier.
Just me. It's just more of a challenge, right?
Yeah.
I ran two menus where everyone else ran one.
Right.
So I did a 25 and a 35. But it was good, and I think the response from people was quite favorable. So
cool.
So, and it's neat. So that I think we're going to have an opportunity to get in and talk with some of the chefs and see what they like to do and how they like to do. And I hope that would be interesting to people.
Yeah. Yeah, I want to get out to some of the farms too, and it'd be neat to eventually get ourselves set up with some video recording equipment, more than just our iPhones, so we can go out and take video of the farms, and we can show it, you know, the passion that the producers have for what they're doing,
mm-hmm.
the husbandry of the animals, just to see the fields, see a carrot come out of the ground right from, you know, so-and-so's farm, that it's going to your restaurant to go on your plate.
Yeah. And it's hard. I mean, the problem with this area is that the price of property is very expensive. So to use it for farmland is extremely expensive.
Yes.
So it kind of drives up the price of the food and the products here.
Yeah.
But I think we're kind of lucky that there are such great foods out here. We do have a shorter growing time than, say, California,
yeah, or Florida, yeah,
or Mexico.
Yeah.
But I think we have, what we can do with it is quite interesting. I mean, the fact that we have a couple of vineyards in town now, actually we have more than a couple.
Yeah, three or four.
Three or four. it's kind of neat because all the different food aspects are coming together. It's almost a little European in style.
Right. Well,
you know, you have your cheese factory, your butcher, you have your vineyards. We have a distillery.
Yeah.
So, you know, I just like being on the front edge of the food here and being connected with everyone here.
Yeah, it's good. I also would like to do a little hunting and gathering too, and maybe post some videos on mushroom picking, berry picking, smoking salmon, doing that processing stuff, because that's what I'm really into. I spent all last weekend and I did, I think, about 30 pounds of salmon smoked and canned. So that's something that I'm really interested in, and you know, hopefully I can get a YouTube channel up maybe, and we can have videos on different things like that and just some how-to stuff. And
I'd like to learn how to grow something. I'm very good at killing things. I like finished product. I don't like starting with bare product.
Yeah.
So every year I dig up a garden in my backyard and I rototill it, and I get a few tomatoes and a few carrots, but I think there's, and I look next door to my neighbor who, downtown Courtney with a greenhouse, and the amount of food he can produce out of his backyard always blows my mind. He's got kale and fresh greens and zucchinis, and I've gotten to the point that I'm buying stuff off him because it's got cheap, it's better. I can buy salad greens off him and they last for like a week.
Nice.
I'm like going to the supermarket and I get that head of lettuce that I have to eat that day because it's dead the next day. So
yeah,
it's great. And it's small gardening. That, I think that's something that's really neat out there too. So
yeah,
it's not the big time farms. It's amazing what you can produce with a little bit of sweat equity and some effort, right?
So. Yeah, simple gardening. It's like simple living. Just do everything on a smaller scale, right. And you can. You don't need to have 300 acres to produce a market garden. You can do it on a quarter acre lot in town.
Well, I'm definitely getting to that slower food, simpler food, trying not to make everything so complex.
Yeah.
It's very difficult.
And let the food stand by itself and the flavor of each vegetable or cut of meat kind of stand on its own rather than drowning it in sauces and steaming the vegetables to death and things like that.
Really enjoying it. And yeah, keeping it simple.
Yeah.
So hopefully with this cast we can do that. We can get out there. We'll get in. I know there's a lot of farmers that are I've talked to that are interested in talking with us, and
yeah,
we'll get the chefs on board. Yeah. And so I think really we're gonna turn this community into a really agricultural based area.
Yeah.
With everything. I mean, our farmers market is incredible. They've got it's a bit of tough to get in there because it's only local stuff.
That's right.
So, and it's a bit pricey, but you pay for good food. So.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, so
that's anyways. A little bit about us. Yeah. A little bit about the Edible Valley.
Yeah.
So, I guess we just want to ask everyone out there, if there's something you want, there's something you're interested in, you can email us, or I guess email us is probably be the best.
Email, yeah.
Or give us a tweet.
Yeah. At Edible Valley.
Edible Valley. Twitter.
We'll have a Facebook page up shortly. And our email address is ediblevalley@gmail.com. So we'd like to hear your feedback and let us know what you'd like to hear and keep us honest and make us work.
That's what we'd like to do.
All right, then. Thanks for tuning in. And hopefully you'll hear from us again in the near future.
All right.
Bye now.
Good night.